Good evening. I'm Pastor Tuck, and welcome to the Leadership Academy, where we equip the chosen for their assignment. In each episode, I'll be sharing insight and wisdom that God has given me throughout my 22 and a half years of pastoral ministry. My goal is to equip you with the tools necessary to run faster and further, helping you to avoid common pitfalls so that you can make a greater impact for the kingdom. I encourage you to share this broadcast with anyone you know who has been called to leadership, whether they are part of the fivefold ministry, a lay leader, or have some other ministry assignment. Because remember, if you're a leader, that means someone is following you. Now, I want to introduce to you the person who will be joining me for this discussion tonight, a young man who I've known since he was 15 years old, who I've had the privilege of pastoring, licensing, ordaining, and launching out into ministry. He is my eldest spiritual son, Pastor James Hobson Sr., senior pastor of Hill City Community Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, and CEO of Hill HC3 Consulting. Pastor James, welcome to the Leadership Academy.
Wow, let's get it. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I feel like the Club Shay Shay Shannon Sharp intro right there.
Oh, man. You deserve that and more.
Right now. That's how I'm feeling.
Hey, man. You deserve that and more. Man, I'm so excited to have you on here tonight, man. Your first step into the Leadership Academy, our brand new ministry in 2025. Yeah. And man, I'm so glad to have you here, man. After, you know, I had my youngest son on the first episode and my middle son on the second episode. And now I got the eldest son here tonight, man. This is a blessing. This is a blessing.
Glory to God, man. Honored to be on here, man. Honored.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Tell them a little bit about yourself, man. I told them, man, you're the senior pastor of Hill City Community Church in the great city of Lynchburg, Virginia. He is the unofficial mayor of Lynchburg. I mean, he got Lynchburg on lock and Lynchburg and the world. And he is the CEO of HC3 Consulting. Tell him a little bit about both of those great organizations that you head.
Now we're gonna get into the nitty gritty. So I'll be nice on the front end.
Yes, sir.
And people see us now, people see where we are now, and they're like, oh man, this is amazing. It's glitter and gold, there's rainbows and butterflies. It was some grueling stuff to get us here, but senior pastor of Hill City Community Church, lead pastor, and April makes it 9 years of pastoring.
Wow. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's take a moment for that. Because most church plants are gone within, a year and a half?
Yeah. And the numbers we use, and these numbers are coming from the Southern Baptists in particular, but they say your average church plant, 9 out of 10 will fail within the first 3 years.
Wow.
Is the numbers that they're saying. And so a 90, just under 90, we round up to 90. It's like 88 or something percent fail rate. And so That's crazy.
Like you said, so glory to God. 9 years. And hold on, I did fail to mention, like I say, he pastors with my beautiful daughter, Pastor Sarah Hobson. I had to mention my baby girl, like I said, because he cannot do what he does without her. She's so amazing. Powerful woman of God. She'll be blessing Pastor Stephanie on Women of Worth this week Thursday night. So make sure you tune in Thursday night and catch her and Pastor Stephanie on Women of Worth. Like I said, powerful woman of God.
That's right. Yeah, she the one. And we are going to be 12 years married.
Wow. We was talking about that the other night. I was talking to my man, Dr. Jefferson, and he was like, he said, I remember we was at his bachelor party. I came by the hotel and y'all was at his bachelor party. He said, man, that was about 12 years ago. He said, I met all them young boys. I was like, yep. I said, you met Josh, you met Kurt, man. You met all my sons back then. I said, all them boys is like walking strong in the Lord, man. That is amazing. Well, matter of fact, that picture popped up on my Facebook this morning when we was in the Brazilian Steakhouse, young.
Wow. Hey, was Rain there with us or no?
No, Rain wasn't with us. It was me, Kurt. You, Kurt, Trav, Drell. Oh, man, that was wild. Josh, man, that was wild.
It was Drell.
Yeah, that was wild, man. That was wild. Man, oh man, that was amazing. That was amazing. To have that many young lions, man, that the Lord had blessed me with, man, and to see y'all walking with the Lord, man, that was amazing.
12 years, 3 kids, and yeah, man, God has done a work in me, and God is doing a work through me, and the work he's done in me is far greater than the work y'all see out here. Something that Bishop Younger says from Rant Church, he says, you gotta be a little crazy to do ministry. And if you ain't crazy yet, you're gonna be in the process. And all the pastors laugh. And people who aren't in ministry might not get what he's saying. It's a bit tongue in cheek. You know, obviously he's saying, please don't have a mental illness. What he's saying is, being in the limelight can wear on you. Always having to be on can wear on you. All these things can wear on you. So he's essentially saying, you need to keep your soul full, because the position can get you. The limelight can get you. The leadership can get you. The pressure can get you. You're going to be a little crazy in doing this. And so he's done a greater work in me than you see him doing through me. And so 12 years married, 9 years in the ministry, Hill City Community Church. We are right in the heart of the city of Lynchburg, 2420 Memorial Avenue. I'm on the Ave right now from the church office. And then HC3 Consulting has been a piece where I've come alongside a ton of churches, primarily doing racial reconciliation, as churches, predominantly white churches, trying to diversify their staff.
Wow.
And so that's primarily how HC3 Consulting really kicked off, is the real story. And so for people who don't know much about Lynchburg and this unassuming city, well, 30 miles down the road from us is an even smaller city called Appomattox. And Appomattox is actually the place where the Civil War ended, where our nation reunited, again, talking about racial stuff. And so we kicked off HC3 Consulting, and we rented the Civil War Museum in Appomattox to host as a place to say, hey, this is a space where our country reunited. And we're saying, no, Jesus can do something even greater than that. We could be even spiritually united. And so that's where it kicked off. And but primarily what took off even from that is one of the young men who was down, who came up to be with us, named Dehadi Lewis and my Boulevard team. They've now brought my wife and I on, asking us to be trainers for the My Boulevard team, actually raising up church planters. And so it is the vision of the My Boulevard organization we're partnering with to see 40 churches planted a year, or to come alongside 40 planting couples every year to see more churches expanded here in our nation. And so that's a little snapshot of what we have going on. We actually have a training that we're doing this weekend in Kannapolis, again, Maryland, raising up some people out of North Carolina. So yeah, that's what's going down.
And that's what I said. Y'all have to hear, and y'all can see I'm about to pop, because like I said, that's my son right there. Planting churches. 40 churches a year that he is assisting being planted. And like I said, that's my son. Like you said, that's why I said, man, I can't do nothing. Like I said, brought him up since he was 15 years old, and look at him now. Look at what God is doing, man. Hold on.
Let me give you your flowers. Okay. So, hey, I appreciate Pastor, you investing in a 15-year-old, because here's another reality. You know, at 15, I'm not tithing. At 15, I'm not preaching. I'm not. What value do I have to you? At 15, I'm at such a young age, I'm just a consumer. What up? What do I have to offer? So I appreciate you considering the little ones. I appreciate you valuing me enough to say, hey, I just want you growing in Christ. I appreciate you valuing me enough to say, hey, I just want you eating up this word, man. I sit on the front row. I'm just in the word. I'm just Sunday night, Thursday night. And your investment in me, you always gonna have a seat at my table. Your investment in me is why I am who I am today. Something else I didn't mention, not trying to toot my own horn, but I also taught at Liberty for many years, right? Yes. In their urban street program, right?
Hold on, stop. He didn't just teach at Liberty. If you go to Liberty University and you study urban ministry, he authored the urban ministry curriculum. There was no urban ministry curriculum at Liberty University until James Hobson wrote that curriculum. He is the author and originator of that curriculum at Liberty University. This is Professor James Hobson's legacy at Liberty University.
Correct. Yeah. And I designed a doctoral curriculum too, just to put that out there. If somebody's getting a doctorate in urban ministry, that's me too.
Hey, that's my son. As the man used to say, that's my man throwing down.
Let's go. But Pastor, what I want the people who are on Leadership Academy to realize, and had there not been a Pastor Tucker in my life, there would not have been a James Hobson. What do you mean? What about your dad? My dad is a guy who is still to this day, he's just an American man's man. He is not a believer. He is still an atheist. He don't believe in God. He has never once opened up God's word with me. Spiritually speaking, he could care less. Matter of fact, when I told him, this ain't even a knock to him. If he was sitting in his room, he would tell you the same story. When I told him, hey, I have a desire I'm a pastor one day. He said, hey man, get a real job. Hey, I the little storefront thing, just get a real job. Just work, just provide for your family. And what I shared with him was, hey, and by the way, I'm gonna provide for my family too. But I also had this calling on my life and I wanna do this. He's really like, he don't care about God. If it wasn't for a Pastor Tucker, there's no Hill City Community Church. There's no urban ministry. There's no professor. There's none of that. So I'm grateful, Pastor Tucker, because at 15 years old, very impressionable moment. Who knows a person's spiritual moment? Okay. I'm preaching all day and, you know, sometimes people respond, sometimes they don't. You happen to be preaching in a time where now the Lord is opening my eyes to the Lord. And so I'm just grateful, man, you invested in me, because who knew I was going to become a pastor someday? Who knew I was going to be filling the blank? But who knows? Jesus says, go make disciples, baptize, teach, tell them to observe the commands. You don't know if you're going to also see the harvest on the back end. And so I'm grateful that without you having seen the harvest, you said, I'm a sow a seed and make the investment. So thank you, Pastor Tucker. Thank you, Pastor Stephanie, in your absence, and for inviting me in your home. Thank you, Courtney and Kaya, for sharing your dad with the rest of the world, with sharing your dad with me. I'm a product of that.
Man, you know, it's crazy. And I say this, you know, because this is the part that most people don't get. And this is the greatest blessing. You know, I talked about, you know, another one of my spiritual sons, Corey Coleman, who's, you know, the co-host with me in the Man Cave. And we and I talked about this on the last episode of the Man Cave. We talked about considering your legacy. And God spoke over my life when I first started in ministry. He said I had a father's anointing, and I never understood what that meant. And it's so crazy because I remember when I first met you, God has a habit of speaking to me about people when I first meet him. I first met you, God told me that he doesn't trust pastors. And God told me my assignment in your life was to give you access to my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if you remember this. One of the first things I told you, I said, come on, I'll give you a ride home. Hmm. Because God told me he needs to get in your car and see that you don't have to change your radio station. Hmm. He needs to see that nothing rolls out from under your seat that's not supposed to. Then I started letting you come over my house because God said he needs to see he can go in your refrigerator and nothing's in there that's not supposed to be in there. He needs to be able to see that you're the same person in the pulpit that you are outside the pulpit. He needs to see that that person equals that person because he's seen it before that that guy up there is not the same guy that's out there. And that's why he doesn't trust what he hears up there. And until he can equate those two, he's not going to listen to what you're saying.
Period, man.
And so I consistently started giving you access to my life. And it was intentional. Because God said that's what I was supposed to do. People don't understand how simple. We think when God gives us an assignment, when God gives us instruction, that he's going to give us this big elaborate plan. Go build this cathedral and, you know, or go, you know, go take this pilgrimage to Mecca, you know, go and, you know, over to Israel and do this great crusade. No, God said, give him access to your life.
Period.
Give him a ride home. It's just that simple. And we think it's that, like you said, when you say disciple people, people think that this is huge. God said, do life with them. I remember when you all started Hill City Community Church, you were having home groups in your house. I remember coming over your house and sitting in your house, and you got people sitting around in your house with the Bible open. In your living room. On a Friday night, we're sitting in your living room with the Bible open, teaching Bible, because that's what they did in the Acts Church. Like you said, people see now three services packed out in this huge church, and they can't figure out how he got there, but they don't know. It started out in your little apartment, folks sitting around on the floor, on the arm of the couch, with the Bible open. Because they don't realize that when God gives you an assignment, it's all about just doing what he told you until he gives you something else to do.
That's good.
And that's literally how God operates. But when we do that, we see the results. And that's the blessing of all of this. And man, I'm telling you, this is so powerful. And it's crazy. Y'all, we ain't even started talking about what we're going to talk about tonight. But y'all getting blessed tonight. I'm telling y'all, this is what Leadership Academy is about. We're trying to show you how to be the leader that God's calling you to be. And trying to show you how to escape pitfalls. Because the pitfalls are, we get in the way of God. God gives you an assignment. All you have to do is do what he tells you. We complicate things because we have listened to all these things men have told us about being a great leader. We put this formula together, these 7 steps, these 12 steps, this. We've got all this stuff that man gave us. And Jesus ain't said none of that. He told Peter, come with me, I'm gonna make you a fisher of men. He didn't tell him, you do these 12 things and you're gonna be good. He just said, come on. They said, hey, where you staying at? He said, come on, hang with me. You start hanging with me, you're going to act like me. That's how that work.
Period.
You hang with me long enough, you're going to get some me on you. That's what leadership is. If you hang with me long enough, you're going to get some me on you. That's what that is. But the first thing is, you got to make sure that the me that you want is what you want them to get on you. Oh, somebody just missed what I just said. You got to make sure that what you want is on you, that you want to get on them.
That's right.
See, because being a leader means following somebody to the degree and allowing somebody else to come along with you on the journey.
Yeah.
See, you think leading somebody means taking them somewhere or teaching them something. It just simply means me following Christ and allowing you to come on the journey.
That's it.
Because being a good leader means being a good follower.
Yeah.
Watch this. If I tell you, come on, go with me, we're going to Florida. if you gonna follow me, I gotta be following the map. I gotta be following directions. I gotta be following the GPS.
Right.
Because otherwise I'm not doing very good as the lead car.
That's right.
Because if I'm not, if I don't follow the GPS, all of us lost because I'm the one in the front.
That's right.
The one in the front has to be properly leading, following.
That's right.
And that's what this is simply about. Being a good leader means following the instructions that God gave you.
That's right.
And so that's literally what this is all about.
That's right. That's right.
But this evening, what I want to talk about
is yeah.
a fundamental aspect of our journey in ministry, and that is trusting God for the assignment that he's placed upon our hearts. Because where he guides, he also provides. So let's begin with our foundational scripture. And this is found in Luke 22, and it's verse 35. It's where Jesus asks his disciples, he says, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, he said, did you lack anything?
Right.
Nothing, they answered. See, this profound question not only highlights Jesus' provision, but it also challenges us to consider our own trust in God as we fulfill our ministry assignment. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering of leaders committed to your work. Open our hearts and minds as we explore the theme of trusting you. Remind us that you are our provider, guiding us in every step of our ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See, as we step into the roles he's called us to, we should have unwavering faith that he will equip us with everything we need to fulfill his vision. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed over the years is that so many times we as leaders tend to think since God has given us this assignment that we're now responsible for funding it. And what happens is that it creates this enormous weight and tremendous pressure that creates in us. It causes us to begin to operate outside the will of God. We begin to come up with all kinds of harebrained schemes. You know, fish fries, bake sales, raffles, and all kinds of things. We start to compromise our integrity. We begin to pervert the word of God. And if inevitably, we transfer this unnecessary burden to God's people. You've all been in that church. I got a $100 line over here. Somebody's in here got $500. Come on, lock the doors, ushers, because, you know, somebody in here, we've been in that we've seen that manipulative spirit because now we want to put the burden of financing ministry on God's people, which ultimately hinders the gospel. So in order to be effective in leadership, we must get a better understanding of God's plan of provision. Now, Pastor, you and I both know from personal experience, one of the greatest challenges of birth ministry is learning to trust God for the vision. Because as opposed to leading an established ministry where you have all the resources in place, like facilities and finances that you have to be a steward of, you are literally having to believe God for everything. I mean, you don't have Bibles when you start off. You know, somebody come in, don't have a Bible. You literally don't have Bibles. So I want you to share what it was like for you coming out the gate.
Oh, man. Are they sure they want to hear it? Leadership Academy? Are you ready for this?
Yeah, because you know we've seen the monument that is Hill City Community Church now. I want to know what it was like starting out, because everybody sees the Pastor James now that everybody wants to be. You know, every time something going on in Lynchburg, Pastor James' name is attached to it. Everybody wants to be him now. I want to know what it's like in the beginning.
I'm gonna tell you this, coming out the gate and church planting, you feel more like a failure than you feel like you are a success.
Wow.
Coming out the gate, you second guess yourself and you're way more indecisive than decisive. There is, I was humbled very quickly because it's a lot easier to sit on the outside of ministry and point fingers at churches and say, this is how I would do it, or this is how I would have done it better. Well, now the ball's in your court. What you want to do? And now you get to you receive some of the comments that maybe you didn't say out your mouth, but you thought in your head, and people share it, and you go, man, I'm not as good a leader as I thought I was. Man, you stay up all night praying and seeking God for a sermon. You preach, people falling asleep. You sit there, it didn't take me long. I probably was, let's say we launched the week after Easter. Let's put Easter at the end of March. And so let's say spring. Or is Easter maybe an April thing? But let's say March. By the time I got to the middle of July, I was ready to quit. Mm. And not only was I ready to quit, I had called another pastor in our city, another guy who had planted. He planted on actual Easter, and I came the week after Easter. I called him. I said, hey, we ain't going to make it. We might as well fold in with you. And in a couple months time, I didn't even make it a year before I said, I'm ready to throw in a towel. Mm. And I began to try to make my own plans to throw in a towel. And so, to a person out there who's church planning, who thinks, man, I feel like a failure. That's actually normal. To a guy who says, hey, I felt like quitting. That actually feel now. I don't mean I was trying to quit Jesus. I love God. I love my own time. I'm talking about quit ministry. I'm done with this. I'm done with leading people. I'm done with people. I'm done. It's if you felt that way, it's normal. And on a financial piece, I can go on for days about this too, but not only do you not have Bibles, you ain't got nothing. So your worship team's going to sing on what? Sound equipment. Who's sound equipment? Who's microphones? The drummer's going to play what drums? The kids team's going to use whose curriculum? Well, I mean, kids team, who's going to even be leading the kids? It's just, oh man, it's just, hey, I'm gonna tell you what, for everybody out there who like, man, I'm gonna start my own church. Do it. It's a whole lot harder than you think it is. And so, I got a good dose of humble pie to say, man, it looked a whole lot easier on from the outside. And I'm speaking to the pride when I'm talking about people like, man, I'm gonna plant my own church. I'm gonna do all this. I got the pastor this, the pastor that. Hey man, there's a lot of grief you give pastors. You don't know what pastors go through. You have zero idea what they go through. I like to equate it to when Mike Tyson, I think he was the one who was famous for the quote, "Who everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the face." Yeah. We look at a Mike Tyson fight, and we like, man, you could have just did this and bob and weave and then did this and that. You don't have a 250-pound man throwing punches at you, so shut up. LeBron, you could have just spun around and then this. You're nowhere near LeBron. Likewise, I want to say that in pastoring. Well, pastor, if you would have just did this and just did that, in my frustration, I go, you know what, brother, go right ahead. You go right ahead. You have whatever you put your sermon together and then you have somebody take a little 30-second clip and see how they scrutinize you over something. Hey, you go right ahead. You walk right into all of that. And so there is ton of humility that was placed upon me year one, and it took for me to have some staying power, as they say. It took for me to have to dig my heels in and say, hey, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not worth it, and just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not valuable. And it's difficult because the preferred future, you have the vision, but the Lord doesn't give you all 99 steps to get there. He says just step one, it's time to go. And then you look and you say, oh, it's a long way to this finish line. And man, I want to encourage you, leader, man, if it's painful, that's normal. That's part of the process. But anything that requires this amount of effort is also showing that it's that valuable and worth that much. Your marriage take effort, but it's worth it. You getting your college degree took effort, but it was worth it. There was an end goal. And so, hey, you trying to do kingdom work and seeing souls saved takes effort. It's worth it.
Man, I remember one day you called me and you were like, Pastor, there's this church out in Texas that they called me and, he offered me a job, full time, be his be his I don't know, the youth or the associate pastor and
family's pastor. Family.
Oh yeah, yeah. But he was like, he gonna pay me and this and that, and you know, and because you were like, at the time, I think you were a professor working at Liberty, and you were trying to pass this church. You was like, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do this. I got a baby. And yeah. It's like, I'm trying to take care of my family. I'm trying to work. I'm trying to pastor. And it's like, and this out here, I ain't got to do all that. They going to pay me. And I remember saying, what did God say?
Yeah. First of all, I think it's wild how you even remember that. I think that's crazy. And I called you and I called you out of my pain. You know, the pain behind that question, the pain behind that consideration is, I'm, you know, and it was actually before I became a professor. I was still at Liberty, but I was working in some other department.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think you were working for your guy. Yeah.
So I was just, so I was at Liberty, but what I hated was everybody else offering me jobs just to do ministry. I got to do all this plus ministry.
Yep.
I wish I could just do ministry, but I got to do all, I'm juggling all these things. Pastor, I can't tell you, when I was working at Liberty before I became a professor and after I became a professor, I can't tell you the last time I ate lunch just to eat lunch. I'm having to use my lunch break to work on sermons. I'm using my lunch break to meet with leaders. Because after five, I'm trying to protect that time with my family. But everybody else working 9 to 5. And so it's like, you either meet before 5 or after 5. I'm just getting killed. I'm saying, man, I wish, Texas sound real nice right now. But no, it wasn't where the Lord called me. And lo and behold, Texas wasn't going to be the only offer that I would get, right? It was another opportunity. I won't say his name, but I'll tell you afterwards, because this podcast is so international. I don't know who on, who not on. We'll talk afterwards. Yeah. But it was offers still here in Virginia and in a couple of other places. And I said, nah, you know, after a while, I said, nah, but the temptation was, man, it sure be easier.
Yep.
Man, the burden would sure be lifted. But you know what? I would have been miserable. And I would have been back in no time, because it was not the vision that God gave me. It was not where God had called me. The grass looked greener on the other side, but the grass is greener wherever you water it. I needed to keep watering where I was at and keep cultivating where I was at, because even I didn't see this season of Hill City. I didn't see what 9 years could look like.
And you know, it's crazy. You know, you said it's crazy. I remember that. I remembered it because I knew where you were. I knew as my son, I knew that was the turning point for you. And I said, God told me exactly when you called it. And then I was like, this is his moment. And this is the point where he had to learn how to trust God for the vision. Because I had been in that place before. See, most people don't understand. Like I said, I was an electrical engineer and I was working a full-time job and I'm pastoring. So I knew what it was to be that bivocational pastor. And it's like, and before I got called, I loved my job. I used to tell people, it amazed me that they paid me to do what I did because I loved my job so much. It was like, I used to get paid to go play. I mean, I was a robotics and control engineer. And so for me, I get to play with toys and get paid. So to me, you know, I'm a gadget guy. So this is what I do. So this is like, dude, I get paid to do this. This, I would do this for free, you know? Right. And so the fact that I get paid to do this is like, but the day after I got called, I used to go sit at my desk and cry all day because it's like, dude,
Jesus,
I want to do God stuff. And I'm in here messing with stuff. I want to be in the word. I want to be serving God's people, and I got to do this. And so it's torture when your heart is with the Lord. And so I knew where you were in that place. And I was like, I said, so he's struggling with this and it's pulling on him now because this whole, and if you're bivocational, I know what that feels like, but the key is you got to trust God until the point of your release. And that's why obedience is always the thing, because if you jump out beforehand, you're putting burden on yourself. You're putting burden on your family. You're putting burden on your people, because at that point now you're starting to try to manipulate things to be God. You're going to be trying to make the people take care of you. You're trying to, it's like planting a garden and then trying to go eat the first tomato that comes off the vine. You will never have a business because you're eating everything that comes out of the ground. And so you'll never be able to provide for anything. You'll never be able to take care of anything. And that's what happens when people plant churches and the first thing they put on the budget is a salary, because now how the church is going to take care of the church. The church can't take care of itself because you're trying to eat off of it. So you're killing the church that you're trying to grow. And so that's why you have to be in the season where God tells you, and you got to learn to trust God for the provision, because God has a plan for it all. God knows the season when he's going to release you into full-time ministry, if that's his plan for you. God knows how to do this. God may even want to give you a job where he gives you favor on your job, where that's your job gives you the favor to do what he wants you to do. But you have to know what that is. And so you've always got to be able to hear God. And the thing I knew was, he had already shared his vision with me. He showed me, told me what God had called him to. He told me God had given him birth ministry in his heart, had told me what God had said to him. And so when he starts telling me about this job in Texas, I'm like, that ain't what you said God said.
Right. That's right.
And so I know God's not schizophrenic. God's not going to be changing his mind. Oh, do this today, do this tomorrow. No, that's not God. I said, so that's why my simple answer was, what did God say?
That's a word right there.
And so that's at that point, it was simply, he had to go back and say, if that ain't what God said, then I know that that's not the answer. As much as I want it to be the answer, as much as I want to try to manipulate it and make it the answer, even though it would be more comfortable for me, it's going to be misery. I'll be comfortable in misery.
Now, Pastor, I know you got a few more questions you want to jump to, but one thing I want to lean in right there, man, to encourage these brothers and sisters on this Leadership Academy piece is, I also want you to know that wasn't just a year one thing. That's even in year nine, I still have to go back to the vision.
Yes.
I still have to be constantly reminded, God, what did you say? So many things change. All right, so we're talking about, just church ministry, but what about when your life changes? What about when your wife has a miscarriage? Or what about when, fill in the blank, what about when a global pandemic happens?
Exactly. Right?
So it's just, hey, I had to go back to, I still go back to square one. What is the vision? Yes. And what have you called me to? Because you naturally just continue to drift and you go, okay, let me get back. I'm drifting here. Okay, now let me get back to where the Lord has called me and where the Lord has called we. So that's still something I'm doing.
And that's the thing. And the key is to continue to trust God for the assignment. Because just like you said, when the pandemic hit, that was such an amazing thing. I saw so many pastors panic. So many pastors, what are we going to do? Because pastors, traditionally leaders, pastors, we get caught up in people. You're looking at people. You see people come in, you see butts in the seat. Mm-hmm. And so you equate that to money in the plate. So you equate money in the plate to that's how I get paid. That's how bills get paid. But God said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that was my first lesson. I told you all, I was an engineer when I first started pastoring. Mm-hmm. And I started having issues with my back and my job started harassing me. And at the time I had a church that was paying me next to nothing.
Mm.
And I had a job as an electrical engineer that was paying me a lot. Mm. And my wife was making next to nothing.
Mm.
And as they're harassing me on my job, I'm in a conversation with the guy from HR and they're trying to push me out. And God literally told me, leave, in the middle of the conversation.
Mm.
And I'm just so obedient to God. I told the guy, when do y'all want me gone?
Mm.
And I'm sitting in my office. This is a Thursday afternoon. And the guy says Monday. And I said, well, I'm not coming back tomorrow.
Mm.
I got up and walked out. I didn't even pack up my desk.
Wow.
And I've never been back.
Wow.
When I say never been back, I never went back to get my stuff. I actually told a friend of mine that used to work there. He asked me, they got your stuff packed up. What do you want me to do with it? I said, get the pictures of my wife and kids. They can have the rest of it.
Oh.
I never went back to get my stuff. And I tell you, I tell people, do not follow my testimony. Because I don't know how violent your wife is.
Right, right, right.
Your wife is, you're not married to Pastor Stephanie.
Right.
And trust me, this was not an easy thing, because when I had to tell my wife, she was very upset. She didn't respond like she was upset. And this in itself, it was an amazing situation. It was a God-ordained thing, but God proved to me that weekend, and he spoke to me in the midst of all of that, and God told me, don't ever doubt my ability to take care of you, and he settled it for me.
Jesus.
And God is taking care of me for the rest of my life. I have not worked a job since that day. And that's been over 20 some years. Jeez. That was literally 21 years ago. Literally 21 years ago. And I have not worked a job since then.
Look at God.
And literally, I have never questioned God's ability to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years after that, I'm working for a church. And he tells me to go out and birth ministry. And so now I leave a church that's actually paying me, even though they're paying me a small salary. And now I have to walk away from a salary to go and now rent a conference center at a hotel to have church. And I don't know who's coming with no salary. I got to rent a conference center out of my household budget with only my wife working. And I have no salary. And I don't know who's going to show up. But I obeyed God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have never missed a bill.
Mm-hmm. Look at God. Look at God. Yeah. When you talk about that, I can only imagine people in the Leadership Academy in a season of life trying to hold both. Man, like I feel like there's a calling that I have on my life, but then also it's like, but man, you know, I got to pay the bills. Man, like, you know, I know the Lord's called me to do this, and maybe I jumped out and maybe I'm doing both. I think your testimony is helpful on many levels, because one, I can see people listening in to say, all right, you know, I'd rather had a silver bullet. What's going to fix it all? And you being like, actually, it won't a easy and clean move for my job. They hated me as I left.
Yeah.
I know you wanted maybe to hear. They prayed for me and said, I'm so excited that you're jumping into ministry. I love that you're passionate. Actually, they didn't like it.
No.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like, and now I gotta be out. And when you want me out? Monday. Well, I'm coming in tomorrow. Right. Yeah. And then also, all right, now I got to share that with my wife. Also, too, with your modeling, even though she didn't like it, is you still told your wife. It wasn't like you went home and said, nah, everything was fine. Hey, I won't. It was like, nah, I'm not working there anymore. You know, there are all these pieces to the story. And your wife, who still has to process that, she's hearing it for the first time. It wasn't like she was like, yay, it with glee. No. It's like, actually, whoa, what does that mean for us? And as you fellow leaders experience that, that's normal.
Yes.
That's normal. And so I don't know where we got this idea that it was like all cookie cutter and rainbows and butterflies. Even the scriptures don't promise that, right?
No.
It's this idea like we're looking at the Hall of Faith and we're looking at all these great giants. All these great giants got bloody along the way.
Exactly. You think about that when you say that exact point. Abraham's. When God told Abraham he was going to have a child, Sarah laughed at him.
Correct. Correct.
For real? His equipment don't even work. What you talking about?
Right. Right.
Your wife laughing at you, bruh.
Hey, man, go deliver my people. Hey, actually, I got a speech impediment. I'm a stutterer. Yeah. Okay. Then I deliver God's people. I'm up on the mountaintop. You come back down. They done made a whole new God, a golden calf out of images. I mean, golden image calf out of gold. It's just, it wasn't that Moses had this perfect way through. Well, no. None of us. Hey, and then you and I today, man, it's a uphill battle. But God is saying, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
David, you my man. And then you go out here and kill somebody's husband and took his wife. Bruh.
Right.
What you doing?
Correct. Correct. Bruh, this is
we don't always get it right.
Yep.
But the key is you gotta recognize we got a God that's been there from the beginning, and he ain't never going nowhere. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. And that's the key. Is trusting him, because he said, when I sent you out, he said, did you lack anything?
Correct.
You have to remember, when he told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, there was the ram in the bush.
Correct.
God said, I'm always, always providing.
Yep.
When he told Peter to go and pay the taxes, he said, go catch that fish over there. Peter been fishing all his life. He ain't never caught no fish that had no gold in his mouth.
Right, in his mouth. Yep.
And the fact that I've been fishing all my life, and I ain't never caught no fish with gold in the mouth. Now, if he would have listened to his experience, his intellect, his wisdom, he wouldn't even went to go catch the fish.
That's right. That's right.
But he listened to God's voice instead, and look what he got.
Right. Now, Pastor.
And that's the key. Go ahead.
Pastor, now check this out. Now, let me give you some scripture I don't like. Let me give you some scripture that if I'm frankly, I don't mean to use no harsh language, scripture that pissed me off. Sorry, leader.
So yeah.
The Bible says in the book of James, count it all joy.
Ooh, you own it.
When you fall into these trials, these difficult situations of various kinds, count it all joy. Now, why in the world would I count it all joy? Because the testing of your faith is going to produce.
Yes, because that situation is going to benefit you in the end.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And the reason why he tells you that, he said, is because you've got to have the right attitude when you go into it, knowing that you're going to get something on the back end.
Right. And it's going to produce.
And that's the thing, man. If I didn't get so much revelation out of that scripture this year, this past year, I got so much out of revelation. That scripture right there came to life for me this past year, because this past year was one of the worst years of my life. Hmm. This past year was war and peace. It was the best of times and the worst of times. We relocated to a new city, built a brand new house, moved in here, and a couple months in, and my wife is now bedridden for 6 weeks. Both my kids graduate from college, and everybody's here together, and we spend the summer from hell. And for the first time in 21 years of ministry, I want to quit. Like you said, I tried to quit, and he wouldn't let me quit. And after going through all of that, I spent a season just reflecting on everything I got out of that situation. And what God showed me was, I took inventory of everything that he did in that situation. And God said, the reason is because it produced something for you. He said, and the reason why that's so important when you come out of something, to understand what you got out of it, is so that the next time something happens, you will have the right attitude when you go in.
Jesus.
He said, because when we go through something, our mentality is, I'm just so glad it's over. But when you come out like that, your mentality is, I went through it for nothing. Mm-hmm. And so that's why every time you see problems, you have this apprehension, you have this anxiety, because your mentality is every time you go through something, you go through it for nothing, because you never take time to do inventory of what God did.
That's right.
What you got out of it.
That's right. And so, Pastor, so to that point, right, counting all joy, all of this, all of the pain, all the turmoil, ministry, all this type of stuff. So when now again, Dehadi, I'm kind of downplaying him. He was the vice president of Sin Network, the church planting arm of the North American Mission Board. This top tier dude who I'm talking about. When he was like, "Hey, come join the team," I'm saying, "Ain't nothing I got to offer. What you talking about?" And he's saying, "No, you have everything to offer." I'm saying, "No, I don't. I know ministries 10 billion times bigger than mine. All these things." But what he's saying is, man, you've been successful. You have to now share that with somebody else. And so a phrase that you say all the time, Pastor, is what worked death in me will work life in you. I'm now seeing that for myself. What worked death in me is going to work life in them. That my trials, yes, they happen, but the Lord got me through them, were actually so that I can have a testimony for someone else.
Absolutely.
For the person who says, "You have never gone through that, because Hill City, y'all got millions of dollars and y'all got this big old facility and y'all got all these leaders. You've never had." And it's actually, "No, you just don't know my story." And so for me to say, no, my year one was actually worse than your year one. You're at a better leg off. When I saw Josh and them, I said, "Josh, y'all set?
Good to go. Hey, man,
you good to go." That was year four for us. Yeah, man, you got it. And shout out Jesus Co. Shout out to Jesus Company.
Yes,
and,
sir.
That's how we can count it all joy. My pain wasn't for nothing. Nothing's wasted. Romans 8:28. God using all of these things to turn them around and work them for our good. And so, man, leader, hang in there, leader. It's hard and it's gotten tough. But man, please be encouraged that just because it's hard, just because it's tough, don't mean that God's not in it. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then also there is a testimony to be had on the back end of that.
And that's the thing, man, recognizing God's faithfulness, man, throughout the journey. Recognizing, the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. God's got a plan for all of this. He's always had a plan to take care of us. He's always had a plan to provide for us. If you remember when Elisha had to go out, he told him, "Go down to the brook."
Right.
He says, "When you go down to the brook of Cherith," he said, "I'm going to send ravens to feed you."
That's right. That's right.
I don't think people even understand the revelation of that. Ravens are scavenger birds. These are birds that fight each other for scraps. They are not birds known to share with each other.
Right.
And I'm going to send a bird that normally fights for scraps to share with you. I'm going to send something to go against its nature to provide for you.
Jesus.
That's the God I am.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, "I'm going to send you to drink from a brook." A brook is not a flowing source of water. That's the last trickle of something.
That's right.
He said, "But I'm going to allow it to be a supply for you."
Jesus.
Even though it's temporary.
Right.
He said, "Now don't depend on it because it's not the source."
Right.
Oh, I'm telling you, you better catch the revelation. Because see, that's the thing. When we're in birth ministry, we get to this place where we want stability.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If you wanted stability, you should have never stepped into birth ministry.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Because it's just like having a newborn baby. You don't know if they're going to sleep through the night or not. You don't know what's going to happen.
That's right.
And that's why people don't understand the difference between birth ministry and established ministry. Established ministry, yeah, they got a bank account. Yeah, they got all these things. See, you're fighting a whole different set of demons.
Correct.
See, you're established in established ministry. You're fighting the demons of traditional families and all of these mindsets and things and ideologies that you have to pull down. See, in birth ministry, you don't have to fight those.
Right.
Because when people came over here, when they come in here, they already know that they're coming in for a fresh perspective. They're coming in to hear God. They're coming in because God gave you. They're coming in to get what God gave you. And so you have that freedom to now give them the pure, unadulterated word of God that God gave you without all of the cumbersome things that have come in sometimes from those years of built on man-made traditions that are now bogged down in an established ministry. Mm-hmm. But you don't have that infrastructure. So mm-hmm. now you have to trust God for everything. Mm-hmm. And so it's a faith work. And now yep. you have to have that faith muscle. Yep. And yep. it's challenging, but that is that's the best part and the worst part.
Yeah.
That's the part yep. that keeps you on your toes. Yep. And because this is a faith walk, you should not despise it. You have to lean into that. Because that's the thing you have to teach your people. And you have to do it as well, because you cannot turn into your flesh, because if you do, you're going to corrupt the very thing that you're trying to build.
That's good. No, that's really good. When I think about year one, some practical advice I think that comes to my mind is this. I wish I would have known not everyone who starts with me is going to end with me.
Wow.
And
that's good.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Not everyone who starts with me is going to end with me, and that's okay. Because I want to say, for those cats who are in that experience, you know, I took a lot of it personal, and I just didn't need to.
No.
And the reason I took it personal is, though everyone gave me the same phrase, Pastor, I'm with you. Not everyone who starts with you will end with you. Pastor, I'm with you. We're gonna rock it out. I began to realize not everybody who's coming to me and who's saying that means the same thing. And secondly, not everyone has the same spiritual maturity. For example, you know, we had some people who said, hey, we're going to be with you. We rocking with you. But what they meant is, hey, if I make it out of bed in this morning, if I ain't on vacation, if I ain't got nothing else better going on, I'm going to be in church. And that's what they really mean. And they probably go 1.5 to, you know, by 1.5, I mean, they might give you 2 Sundays on 1 Wednesday night a month. And that's them saying, I'm committed.
Yeah.
That's
to them, that's commitment.
To them, that's commitment. And they're like, what you mean, Pastor? I'm rocking with you. Right. And then right next to them is a leader who's there every single day who said, I'm with you. And then thirdly, it's a person who said, I'm with you, who came for 2 weeks. Something happened they ain't like, and they ain't seen them since.
Yeah.
But they all said, I'm with you. Before I want to point the finger at them, I want to say a leadership mistake that I made was, one, I appointed leaders too quickly. And two, I took everybody who said that phrase, man, y'all join leadership, y'all lead with me. And then I got my feelings hurt when you know, I don't see you for 3 weeks. Where you been? Oh man, we took a vacation. We did this or that. You were supposed to be greeting you. What's going on? And I shouldn't have putting them in place. I shouldn't have given over the title. I'm ready to give out title. You get a title and you get a title. Hey, not everybody who start with you going to end with you. And I got my feelings hurt because I didn't have a healthy expectation with leaders who came in. I could, you know, they could have said, Pastor, I'm with you. I could have said, hey, amen. Glad you're here. Come take a seat. And that's, not, hey, I'm glad you're here. Why don't you preach next week? And why don't you preach next week? Hey, I'm here. I'm glad you're here. Why don't you learn who we are and what we're about?
And that's so rich, because, you know, in the words of the hip hop prophet Bizzle, everybody hang with you ain't gonna bang with you. You got to recognize that. And that's, like you said, and that's not a bad thing. It takes time to get to know people according to the spirit. And that's again right. why we say you got to hear God. Don't do anything right. God didn't tell you to do in this.
That's right.
And that's I know when I say these things, I say them so casually because I am so comfortable hearing God's right. voice.
Right.
And if you're right. not that comfortable hearing God's voice, you got to start practicing that.
Right.
You got to right. start spending so much time with God that you hear his voice clearly. Right. I mean, to the point where when you go to the grocery store, God, where's my parking space? When you get up in the morning, God, where are my keys? God, what you want me to wear today? I mean, you got to start having that level of conversation with God till you're that used to hearing God's voice. Because God wants to talk to you about everything. He got a plan. He said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. That's plans for hope in the future. So God has a plan for every step of this. And where he guides, he's going to provide. He's going to provide you wisdom. He's going to provide you resources. God has every step of this laid out for you. And where we struggle at is where we get in the way of the plan. And that doesn't mean, like you said, everything's going to be roses and candy, because some of this is going to be difficult. Sometimes it's going to feel tight. But that's that's so that, and I say that because he said, give us this day our daily bread. And when I say feel tight, doesn't mean it's going to be tight, because you have to remember with when they were in the desert, he gave them manna every day. So they had what they needed. They just didn't have what they wanted. And that's the key. Sometimes we get so caught up in the difference, because I remember when the pandemic hit, and that's what I think I was saying before. So many pastors got caught up in this thing of the butts in the seats, money in the plates. So they're in this thing of, if the people not there, they're not going to give. And so now our burden is on people instead of God. And so they start panicking and they start trying to figure out different ways. I saw so many people, and I'm not throwing rocks at anybody if this is what God told you to do. I saw people doing this parking praise and, you know, all these different things, trying to figure out ways to get people to come to the building. Because in their mind, people are not going to give. They're not going to pay the cover charge and they don't get to go to the club. And I'm like, to me, I'm going to drive, spend gas money to come over to the church, to sit in my car and listen to you on my car radio and watch you through the windshield versus sitting at my house and watching you on my television, or on my computer, or on my phone, and giving online. That sounds to me, and you want to stand out in the hot sun in the middle of July in the parking lot sweating. This doesn't sound, this doesn't even make good sense. But in your mind, if you can put eyes on me and guilt me into giving, then now you think it works better. And this sounds like something that's totally man to me. But I'm going to tell you what I did. God told me we already had the ability to do virtual. And so when the pandemic hit and they said, go home, I said, God, what are we doing? He said, the same thing you've been doing. When we had bad weather, we broadcast. So God said, the same thing you've been doing. So that's what I did. And so the day that the pandemic hit, the first thing I did, I called to the bank and I told the bank, put our rent on auto draft. Because I said, the guy who's our landlord, he's got to deal with the pandemic just like we do. And I know he's not a man of faith like I am. See, I know how to trust God. His faith ain't like mine. And so I'm not panicking. He might be. But I'm going to be a representation of God.
Put ours on auto draft.
And so we never missed a payment. We didn't walk in the building for 2 years. And so many churches were like, oh man, we're struggling. Why are you struggling? And the reason is because you're trying to figure out how to finance the vision instead of recognizing that this is not your stuff. See, the reason is because I never worried about anything, because this is God's church.
That's right.
And if it's God's church, God is responsible for it.
That's right.
Not the people, not me, God is. So this God's building, this is God's people. Watch this. I never have missed a bill in my house. And I told you, I haven't worked a job in 21 years. You know why? Because it's not my house. It's God's house. And I got three of them. I ain't missed a car payment, because they God's cars. My kids ain't missed a meal. You know why? Because they God's kids. Because when you recognize that we're only stewards, God is responsible for taking care of his stuff. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it. So all of it is his. He said the silver is mine, the gold is mine. So if everything belongs to him, then I have no responsibility for it except to be a steward over it.
You know, I'm going to give you another scripture. Jesus says, I will build my church. Gates of hell can't prevail against it.
And unless the Lord build the house, the laborer laboreth in vain.
Period.
So. And that's why we got to recognize, man, where there's vision, there's provision. Mm-hmm. Where he guides, he provides. And we've got to learn to trust God.
Amen.
For the vision.
Amen. That's right. That's exactly right.
Pastor Jay, anything you want to leave the folks with, man? I think this has been great. I think this is really blessing, man. I love your testimony. Man, we didn't even get to all your testimony. Y'all don't know at the height and just to give them the best part, at the height of his career, this man was a PhD candidate. Had authored the urban ministry curriculum at Liberty University. I said, man, they had given him his own department.
Yep.
They were paying for him to get his PhD. He walked away to full-time ministry because that's what God said.
Yeah.
Everybody again, said he was crazy.
Hey, Pastor, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I said to myself before I did it, I said, am I crazy? God, I want this to be crystal clear. And the Lord was. And the Lord was crystal clear. Again, hear from God before making a move like that. Just like you said, hear from God before you tell your wife like that. But I did hear from God. And the Lord hadn't called me to be a professor. That was just a way he was providing. He hadn't called me to do some of these extracurricular things. He called me to pastor. And so when our ministry got to a point where I no longer could have two full-time jobs, I needed to just pastor. It was time to slide. And we haven't missed a payment since. We haven't missed a bill since, church or what I'm specifically talking about is my family. My family, we have been good. Yeah, you leave money on the table, some other things on the table, but the Lord has been faithful to provide. And the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. He don't add no sorrow to that. There won't no sorrow at it. It's been nothing but a blessing. And my wife was on board with it. Hey, I'm leaving all this. I'm thinking she's gonna be the one to say, you sure? She was the one like, yeah, about time. About what you mean about time? She was more excited than I was.
Probably was in the closet praying, Lord, get him out of there.
Get him out of there. It's time. Look at God.
Yep.
So look, I just need to do another leadership academy. You know what I'm saying? We'll just have a part two.
Yes, sir. We might have to get him back next month. I'm telling you. Because I'm telling you, it is so rich, man. His story is so rich. And when I tell you, he blessed. Boy got multiple houses, like I said, multiple cars, like I said, blessed family. I'm telling you, God is doing what he promised he would do. And I'm telling you, it is just amazing to watch. But I'm telling you, that's why you got to be able to trust God for the vision, for the assignment he's given you.
That's it, man. That's it.
God bless you, man.
Love y'all, man.
Man, get... Bless them out, Jay. Give them the last words, man, and then pray us out.
Yeah, Leadership Academy, all over the planet. No, just because it's hard don't mean God's not in it. This labor that we're doing is worth it. And last, I want to say, you're going to get out what you put in. And so, hey, I know it's rough because you're trying to get it out the mud, and I know it's hard. You're not seeing some things come to pass at, you know, in the time frame that you would like. But I'm going to say, hey, keep on digging in. What books are you reading? How you know, I know you tuned into Leadership Academy. Are you subscribed? Are you like in? Are you dialing into this? Are you taking notes? And then are you putting that into practice? Man, you, God gave you vision, but we responsible to work the vision. Come on now, like, yeah, God gave us faith, but we got to work that faith muscle that Pastor was talking about. And so I kind of want to fire you up as a football coach. Hey, man, like, ain't nothing going to fall in your lap. That's a lie. You know, the ministry that we have here, yes, trust God. Yes, spend time in prayer. Yes, you know, God did it. At the same time, when it won't nobody else to open the doors, I'm the one opening the doors. When it ain't nobody else, man, Pastor Tucker, we loading in the musical equipment for praise and worship in his van.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we ain't got no church van and them folk and this and that. Hey, complain all you want. Football coach to player. Hey, it's hard. Suck it up. Hey, it's hard. Deal with it. That's what it means to see vision come to pass. We all look at Microsoft and Apple and all these other companies and we like, oh, somebody gifted. Hey, I remember when Amazon, when you see a picture of Jeff, is it Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
Working out of his garage. I got this thing called Amazon. That ain't gonna work. Well, he worked it and now it's working for him. Yeah. Hey, your vision for your kingdom plan, and it's and it feels like the early stages, the infancy stages, the grassroots stages, work it and watch that thing work for you with God. So love y'all, and I'm gonna pray us out. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray faith over everybody who's attached to the Leadership Academy. I pray that just like oxygen in their nostrils, faith, Lord God, would flare up on the inside of them, would grow them, Lord God, that they would see clearly, Lord God, vision that you've given them, and they won't be dismayed by the people's faces, that they won't be dismayed by what they see in front of them, but they would trust God. And so I pray that when things get hard, when things get difficult, that they dig their heels in. We all want big muscles. We all want a six pack. We all want this. But hey, the reality is you got to put more weight on the bar. There is effort required, and sweat equity is a real thing. But when they get tired, Lord God, I pray that they realize this is what it takes to develop ministry. It takes blood, sweat, and tears. It takes time praying. It takes time reading. It takes time investing. It takes time failing and then succeeding on the back end. I pray faith over them, staying power over them, that they would not quit until they see that vision come to pass, Lord Jesus. We ask all that in the name of Jesus. Give them grace and mercy and courage and faith along the journey. Give that to them in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, praise God, man. We're so glad you all tuned into the Leadership Academy. If you've been blessed by the Leadership Academy or any of the ministries of My Church Virtual Network, we pray that you will consider sowing a seed, helping us continue to do what we do. If you'd like to do so, you can sow a financial seed using Cash App, $ My Church Channel. Like I said, just any of our ministries. You know, we've got all kinds of ministries here at this network. We've got the Man Cave, Women of Worth, My Church Seer Training. We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've got the Leadership Academy. We've got the Heart of the Pastor. And then on Sunday mornings, you know, we've got ministries. We've got Victory Today with Pastors Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got Enjoyable Life with Pastors Russell and Vita Cash. But like I said, we've got all kinds of ministry, faith-based ministry available here on the My Church channel and the My Church On The Go app. So if you want to support us continuing to do faith-based content, sow a seed, help us continue to do what God's called us to do. But until we come back, God bless you. Stay tuned for our announcements. We love you. I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Pastor Jay. See you on next time. Peace.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
He says, you show up and let the Lord speak to you.
Glory to God.
First responsibility of leadership is in your home. And that's why it's your ministry to your spouse and your kids that matters the most.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen. And the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. you know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
It's,
that's
right. You know. At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the word works. And we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.